Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So, you know, you have other guys who've been, you know, playing well and getting production. You know, Armstead had a very productive game. Javon Kinlaw, even though, you know, whispers are coming out of camp, him not, you know, being able to withstand that first round draft pick, but he played very, very well on Sunday. So they have some depth in there that, you know, Bosa doesn't really need to slide down right there because what the defense calls for, he either wants, you know, Fred to play over the center, just walk over the center on a third down situation, or, you know, they want to scheme something up and try to get some passing lanes clogged up. But, yeah, definitely, I can see him moving around eventually.
One more before we leave the trenches here with Ian Williams. Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead, what's the impact that these players can make? Is Solomon Thomas going to be strong enough to play in the interior, and where does Eric Armstead fit best?
I think Solomon's going to have a decent game this week. He had a pretty good one that last week, was able to hold double teams, you know, with guys being that much bigger. You know, the Cardinals, you know, aren't a small team up front. So, you know, he did a good job with his pad level and his leverage and his technique. And I think he'll do the same thing. I don't know what'll change for him in 1 week for him to all of a sudden, you know, just stand up on double teams and just want to be lazy and not take it on and not get that person to the ground. I think he does well. And then Armstead, you know, he's so valuable because he can slide inside and he can also play outside. You know, if D Ford's winded or if D Ford's tired or you just want him for a third down specialist or pass rush specialist, you know, you have Armstead who can slide out there and play the strong side or a weak side defensive end slot and be very productive, especially playing over a tight end or one of these tackles this week for the Jets. So, you know, definitely, you know, he takes advantage of those guards and those centers when he does move inside. And I think this week I would love to see, you know, some inside, you know, moves going on, some inside slants to take advantage of these offensive linemen because they're big and they're a little bit slower. They're not slow, but their footwork when they have movement across their face, they struggle at. So if you know that, especially with the type of offense they'll be running this week, you don't have Le'Veon Bell, so you don't have that passing element. Even though Frank can catch the ball out of the backfield, that's not particularly who he is. So I'll look for, you know, the second half, if you're watching the film, I'll look for the second half of that game tape against the Buffalo Bills and the Jets to be the standard of what they're probably going to do to kind of protect Darnold and also let Frank Gore and P. Ryan kind of stay between the tackles. They're going to, you know, go in 12 personnel, have two tight ends out there, run some power and some counter and some inside drill plays to kind of let Frank see the hole and pick his poison to kind of take advantage of. So it's going to be an interesting game in the trenches to watch, and I'm really excited to see Mekhi Becton, the left tackle from Louisville that we were talking about. I was high on him. There's a lot of good tackles in this past draft class, so it'll be fun to see him and Nick Bosa go at it because he's a big dude now.
Yeah, Ian I was looking at.
Y'all still there, man? Ahead, did Love. I rock y'all to sleep?
Yeah, you did. We were yeah, just digesting all that football knowledge. But Lo Neal, I think, has a question for you, Ian.
Yeah, I didn't want to jump on the guys. So what I was, Ian, when you're talking about looking at what's going to happen in the trenches with Nicky Bosa and the tackle, are you looking at this game to be a smash mouth, what team's going to run the ball more effectively, looking for the Jets to keep it close, try to win it late. Does the Niners, have you seen enough of the Niners to say, hey, they can open this thing up and really motorboat this Jet team? How do you see this game playing off? What is the Jets going to try to do? If you were the Jets, what are you doing to stay in this game?
You said motorboat. There you are. all right, so Jets, I think, you know, it's going to be a close game. They don't have Le'Veon Bell. They might not have Jameson Crowder. It just came out on Twitter that he tweaked his hamstring and he had over double-digit catches and they caught him slipping on a play in the third quarter. They didn't score until the third quarter where they caught Buffalo slipping. They walked the two backers into the A-gaps and they had a 3-by-1 set and the three player went out to the flat and they caught him in the screen right there and he took it to the crib. That was Jameson Crowder. So that was where he got most of his yards right there. But yeah, they ain't scoring until the third quarter. And I think, like I said, you know, it's gonna be a 12-22 personnel kind of game because they don't have Crowder. The other receivers, Darnold has some weapons out there in Perryman, who's a fast dude. So, you know, they can definitely catch you on a pass, a play action, and he can beat you over deep now. And then Darnold, he can throw the ball now. I'm watching the play where he'll make some bad decisions where if you get him outside of the pocket to his left or to his right, and he has to flip his hips, he'll make some bad decisions. He'll throw you a pick or something like that. So I think the Niners will definitely have probably two or three picks, but it'll still be a close game because he'll turn that from throwing a pick to the very next play. He comes, they go out in five. Wow, you would think your quarterback throws a pick. You're like, no, I'm just going to call it safe. I'm going to run the football. Like, no, Adam Gase is like, I'm going to let you go out there and let it spin, kid. Go ahead. We're going to go five wide, and we're going to throw the wheel route. He puts it right on the money to the kid. I think it was Jameson Crowder on the sideline outside the number. So, you know, he'll show you one bad extreme, and then he'll show you another good extreme. So he has a lot of arm talent. So I think eventually they'll stay on schedule. You know, they won't really throw the ball until second, third down. Every now and then they'll run a play action on first down, but they're going to keep it very vanilla for him in the offense because they don't have a lot of weapons. And then defensively for the Niners, you know, they're going to have to slow him down, slow Frank Gore down, and make sure they keep Perryman in front. And then offensively, if you're looking at their defense, you have to take advantage of this defense. They have Quinnen Williams, and that's, like, pretty much it. You know, C.J. Mosley isn't there. Jamal Adams isn't there. They're void of a lot of talent on defense. So you have to take advantage of these guys. You have to run the football. You have to trust your offensive line up front. They play very well. Haronis Brasu, I was a little critical on him after the game, but as I've watched the film now, he had a very, very good game, and he statistically had a very good game too, you know, not allowing any pressures up front. So, you know, they have some talent right there to be able to open up some holes for Mostert and Jet McKinnon and Tevin. I think, you know, Tevin's going to get more action this week because he didn't play last week because of the smoke from the fires and his condition and stuff like that. So, you know, look for him to get some action in and have some fun out there and have some fresh legs to be able to push the ball down the field. And then, you know, Sanu's not going to be playing, but you have to give the ball to Kendrick Bourne more. I thought Kendrick Bourne played very well, especially with his routes. He was open a lot of the times. Jimmy G just didn't see him and couldn't give him the football. And then this week, I look for Jimmy G to be better, you know, seeing his reads and going down his progression and trusting his coaching and trusting his offensive line in front of him. I know you might have some pressure, you know, every now and then from your right guard position, but that's something that, you know, you kind of knew in training camp and you knew going into the season you were going to get some pressure right there. So your receivers are still getting open. Just trust it and keep your eyes open and throw the ball down the field. So it's going to be a fun game to see how they bounce back from this, because a lot of Super Bowl winners, they lose that first game and they could be thinking, oh, no, here we go again. Like, it's going to be just like the year before the Super Bowl, just like 2018. But let's just see how they respond and see if that Super Bowl mentality really stuck around.
Ian Williams, how amazing is the fact that Frank Gore is still playing, and what kind of teammate was Frank Gore?
Frank was fun, man. Frank was a cool dude, I tell you that. I learned a lot from Frank, you know, on and off the field. You know, obviously, you know, he didn't, you know, talk much. You know, you didn't really talk much to him because I was a drafted rookie. You know, he's the, you know, star running back like that. So until, you know, I really started to establish myself, you know, I was around, you know, more. I was able to, you know, hang out and talk a little bit more and learn from those guys. But, you know, he's definitely going to get this team up in the Jets, where, you know, if he wasn't on that team, I would say this was going to be an easy win. But I can tell you, when you're a veteran, a respected veteran like that, and he's played for as long as he's played for, I think this team in New York is definitely going to try their best to get up for this game and get this win for him and make sure he walks out. You know, maybe he does retire this year, next year, but he walks out as he beat his former team.
All right, Ian Williams, thank you very much for your insight. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys.
Ian Williams and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. Visit BayAreaChevroletDealers.com to find a dealer in your area. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by AAA Northern California, Nevada, and Utah. Can the 49ers count on any help this week? And can Lowe handle the football feud? That's coming up next. Whitey Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Whitey Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Whitey in for Coe, Sedan tomorrow. Although, Dibs, I mean, if people aren't going to take these things seriously, I'm not sure I want to be here tomorrow. We were talking about sequels better than the original. Lowe made a football point along those lines, and of course we ran with it. Speed 2 gets a mention, LOL. It was a terrible movie. Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
East Bigelow, European Gigolo. I mean, I'm embarrassed that I'm even reading these. If people aren't going to take it seriously, I don't know. I don't know what to do with it.
I don't understand it, as Ro famously would say. Yeah, I'm with you, Whitey. If people aren't going to take this seriously, if you're just going to throw out, no, Gremlins 2, yeah. Get out of here, Gremlins 2.
Thank you.
Gremlins is a classic. The original's an absolute classic.
Thank you. Thank you. Lo Neal, do you think the 49ers get any help this week when it comes to, you know, knocking off somebody in the division? 49ers taking on the Jets. You got the Rams are visiting the Eagles. You got the Seahawks hosting the Patriots. And Arizona is home to WFT. So can the 49ers count on anybody to give them a little helping hand this weekend, you think, in the division?
I think the Washington Redskins. If I looked at those teams, I would say this. I mean, the Washington Football Club, the Washington Football Team.
That's a flag.
Whoa. I think they have. You know what? Come on. Wait a minute.
Wow.
It's 5 yards. Washington. It's 5 yards in the mistake jar. Just like the Nicky Bosa, really, Joey Bosa.
Really? I was going in motion. I didn't go forward. I just went in motion. So the snap wasn't right yet. Yeah, my guy. So,
we had two guys moving, and you didn't get set for a full second. So it's 5 yards.
Absolutely.
It's one of those, you know, it's the minutia of flags.
It's 5 yards, but it's still a very embarrassing penalty. It's like the 49ers against the Ravens, and the first play from scrimmage is Crabtree, you know, lines up improperly.
Boy. It's like referring to Baltimore as the Baltimore Colts, quite frankly, or the Houston Oilers. You know, these are the St. Louis Cardinals. These are things we can't do at this level.
No.
This level.
Is it really? I think that you guys can't. I think that's unfair. I think that's really unfair because those situations are not, they don't work on the heartstrings as much as this Washington Football Club.
True.
So I think that you guys would be remiss if you guys would just say that's what I was saying. So I don't want to be taken the wrong way, Whitey.
I admit, I'm remiss.
Okay, Whitey.
I confess to it. You're right. Yes, we go forward. But you think Washington has a chance to do what the 49ers couldn't do last week. Washington gives the 49ers a little divisional pick-me-up by knocking off Arizona. You know, those Arizona Cardinals flying high after last week.
And that's one of the reasons. You're flying high. You've arrived. But I'm going to tell you, to me, right now, today, I believe that Washington, the Washington Football Club football team has one of the best fronts in football. They were good last year. Go look at them last year. Mm-hmm. Now you added another pass rusher. I think that the Washington people aren't giving them enough credit. It's just going to come down to the offense. That's going to be a very, very competitive game, guys.
Dibs, can I ask you, I'm curious here, off the beaten
path
a little bit. The whole Washington football team, no nickname, kind of rebranding for this year. Then, of course, they can rebrand again, presumably, and sell more jerseys. Is it a classic look that works, the whole Washington football team, or is it a punt?
I think it's a punt, but it's a good punt. And it's a coffin corner inside the 10 because you're ultimately really? Going to come up with a name. But the problem is some Virginia real estate broker blocked you. He took all the good names and registered you. So Daniel Snyder was not ahead of the curve. So he's stuck now behind the eight ball figuring out what to do. But in the meantime, to go WFT, Washington football team, I think it is a bit of a stroke of genius, and it buys you time to come up with a real good nickname when the time is right. So it is a punt, but it's a quality punt inside the 10.
Okay. I'm not sure it works for me. I understand your point. I'm not sure it works, but I know they have a great coach. They have an excellent coach, and maybe they've turned the corner. Do you agree with Lowe that the 49ers might get their – yeah, go ahead, Lowe. I'm sorry.
No, finish, please. Yeah? Finish.
Okay. Okay. All right. Do you agree that the 49ers might get some help from Washington against Arizona this week? Rams and Eagles, Seahawks, Patriots would be the other divisional matchups.
I think the most likely help comes from the Patriots over the Seahawks. I like what the Patriots are doing with Cam Newton and the way Josh McDaniels was rolling out the run-first offense. I think they can keep that game close at Seattle. I think New England has the best opportunity at the upset, and I'm more WTF about WFT than I am WIN, quite frankly, because
nice.
The way Philadelphia was up 17-0 in command, and they come out of the locker room, and Carson Wentz became Carson Wench. That was god-awful, those first two drives. An unsightly pick followed by an unsightly pick. Next thing you know, WFT, WTF. Is back in the ballgame. That was an absolute gift to Haskins and company. And, yeah, Riverboat Ron rolled the dice on a fourth down low, and he cashed it in. But I'm not sold on the Washington football team. So I think the Cardinals beat Washington. The Rams game's a toss-up, and I like the Patriots being the best spoiler candidate for the Niners.
That's not bad. I totally
not bad. That was
totally
great.
I'm just saying. I love the way you broke that down.
I don't know about Carson
Radio
Wentz.
Gold is what that was.
I had a hard time. I didn't understand Carson Wench. I didn't get that.
It's a play on words, Whitey. Carson Wentz. Yeah, Carson Wench.
Yeah. Uh huh.
What that was same. Was Carl Lewis in the 200 at the 1984 Olympics.
Okay.
That was gold.
I was there for that race.
By the way, at the LA Coliseum.
Were you really?
It's my 16th birthday present. Yeah, my brother worked for the YMCA in Marin County, and they had this trip. It was a $850 trip. It was a week. You took a van down to L.A., and a group of youngsters got to go to the Olympics, like six different Olympic events, and you would sleep at the Burbank YMCA. We didn't have a lot of money at the time, and my birthday being in August, it was coming up, and my brother was a counselor at the YMCA, and they needed one additional kid to go on this trip in order for my brother to get to go as a counselor. So for my 16th birthday, my parents dug deep into the Dibley family coffers and came up with the $850 to send me and ostensibly my brother Mike to the 1984 Olympics, and the rest is, as they say, history.
Hmm. Is Mike the one who would not accept your apology? Apology not accepted? Is that your
brother, Mike? No. That's the unibrother, Doug. Mikey 2.0. Actually, Mikey 2.0 is the travel ball baseball coach of our boss's kid. Yeah. So it's one of those, one of those small world peculiarities, Lo, which you don't often hear about. But it was Doug. Doug is my brother, the unibrother, who famously at Thanksgiving, Lo, we were doing pictures about 6 years ago when my parents were both still with us, and somebody took a flash picture, and my brother immediately, ow, 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 and we all of course start cracking up because who does that when there's a flashbulb? And he says, blank you. You know my eyes hurt. You know I'm sensitive. And I said, Doug, dude, I forgot, bro. Doug, I'm really sorry, Doug. I'm sorry I laughed at you. And he looks up at me with squinty eyes, and he says, apology not accepted. And, of course, we burst into immediate round. Oh, my God, Hurricane Gale. You've never heard the caner laugh so hard. So we go from laughing in his face to apologizing to laughing in his face. It was like a 3-6-3 double play.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's a classic.
888-957-9570.
It had to be.
On the text line, Washington football team is one of the greatest petty troll jobs of all times by Snyder. from the 415. Used to work for NFL doing team rebrands. The process takes 1 to 2 years. From the 925, Washington football team is like part unfinished created team in Madden and a full-blown meme. And from the 408, the Washington football team is genius. It extends the conversation, allows for explanation and healing better than just changing it, forgetting and moving on. It allows the youngest generation to learn. Spartans listeners radio weighing in on Washington football team.
Well, I thought Dibs had did have a good point when he was talking about why he believes that Belichick and his team and Cam, New England's going to go out there and possibly give them the best chance. It's because that Miami Dolphin team, everyone talk about it, just sucks and horrible. They're not. You watch that team, you look at them last year at the end of the year, how they were playing. They're very, very competitive. I think that team is going to be better than what a lot of people think, even though Fitzpatrick, you know, he'll give it up now, give you a couple picks. I still think that they'll be pretty competitive this year. I know Tua's not going to probably play till later on, but they are a lot better. So I can understand, Dibs, your train of thought. I'm not sold on Philadelphia, though. Philadelphia, you look at that team, their offensive line is hurting. They're beat up. Defense has some holes. I think the Rams are going to go out there and take care of them. If I was saying who would I put money on this week, I'd go ahead and put some money on the Rams. Rams.
You like the Rams, don't you? I know a lot of people have been saying, and this was more before last week when they beat Dallas, a lot of people have said, yeah, the Rams, last place in the division, forget about the Rams. But you've been very high on the Rams, Lo'Neal.
Yeah, and this especially coming on the heels of his bashing of Jared Goff, who I famously inspired Whitey some years ago in a MLK night game at Oracle Arena, where I pulled Jared aside and I gave Jared Goff some real good advice. Wow. One Marin Catholic alum to another, and after that, his career definitely has taken off. And I think Lowe might be impressed by, you know, what Jared did in week one and the way the Rams offense looked very capable coming out with an impressive week one win.
They ran the ball, Dibs. They not just that they ran the ball, and they got the ball out of Jared Goff's hand a lot faster. They looked very, very comparable, and they looked very capable of winning. And when you're running the ball last year, they didn't have any effective running the ball, and Jared had to hold onto the ball too long. Their offensive line was beat up. It was a sieve. He was getting sacked a lot more. He began to hear happy feet. Watch this game against Dallas. Boom, three-step, get the ball ahead. Boom, three, four, five-step drop, getting the ball out of his hand. A lot of different misdirections. They did a great job running the ball, but they did a great job of getting the ball out of Jared Goff's hand. He looked a lot better. You're right, Dibs. And, yeah, I think the coaching staff did a great job of protecting him and letting him get the ball out of his hand a lot sooner.
Dibs, what was the advice? Can you share with us? And I know it's personal.
Could you share?
I mean, maybe it's something we could all benefit from.
Yeah, I could paraphrase Whitey, but it would be better if I actually played you the actual audio, because I was fortunate enough I was talking to Roz Golden Wude and Baron Davis. Whoop, whoop. And then I turned my attention to the right. Luckily, I did have an audio recording of my entire evening, but this is exactly what I said to Jared Goff. And by the way, the very next season, he would be in the Super Bowl. Here are my words to Jared Goff.
I said, Jared, yeah, hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead. You got a lot of talent, Jared. You're from Marin Catholic High School. I didn't think of that guy.
Inspirational words from an inspiring individual. Now, I may or may not have been... famously, Joe Fortenbaugh, I don't know if you remember, Lowe and myself, we met up with JT the Brick, Speed Brick, in the BMW Club. We were there to watch the Cavaliers-Warriors game, and and behold, we never left the BMW Club. I saw 0 seconds of live basketball action, but what I did endure was about 10 vodka sodas, and that was about 9 vodka sodas in right there when I saw Jared Goff, and I said, Jared, and I gave him the advice that helped. Yeah, oh boy, liquid something. Oh, I'll tell you what,
liquid courage. Oh, he had Roz there. He's like, he came back. I got Roz. Who's calling on the show? We're like, well, what?
This is my favorite because I go up to Roz and you know I was about 6 sheets to the wind. Shout out Uber, by the way, for getting me home. I guess. And I went up to Roz and I said, Roz, you know, as Dibs from Jolo and Dibs, I'm looking to, you know, maybe we want to get you on the show. She said, okay, sure. I said, you know, give me your number. And she gives me her number. And so I dial her and I call her so she'll have my number. And, you know, she's looking at it and she looks at her phone and she's like, yeah, I got it. Like, dude, you can hang up now and you can leave me the heck alone because, Hey, Roz, we'd love to get you on the show, Roz.
That's good work. You're always
She never came on the show, Whitey. She never came on the show. And in fact, my number was... Oh, you think that's funny, Curly? Curly's the producer supposed to be booking guests. She gave me the Heisman. She gave me everything but a restraining order.
Yeah. Well, speaking of guests...
Wait, yes, Whitey.
Go ahead, Lo. Yes, Lo.
She gave him a fake number, so he gives the number to the producers.
That's
and he's
wrong.
Like, okay, we're going to
call.
That's
wrong.
The number wasn't even right, so she was like,
she gave me
much,
the
okay,
real
I got
number.
Your number.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I'll call right now if you want.
Call her. Prove it.
Dark turn.
Call right That's now.
It. I'm calling right now.
Speaking of
Roz,
Alwyn,
Rode.
Keep it keep it locked on 95.7 The Game all day today for a stacked guest. There's no other word for it. Boomer Esiason joining BSG
Boomer.
At 11. Mike Silver. Mike Silver. What is Mike Silver? What is it he has to say about Lo Neal and a Hall of Fame candidacy? We have that somewhere, Mike Silver.
15 seconds, make a case for somebody to get into the Hall.
Fullback Lorenzo Neal had a long career, and he blocked for 11 1,000-yard rushing seasons for five backs, including LaDainian Tomlinson for 5 years. Put my man Lolo in the Hall!
Wow. Every time I hear that, it sounds more like Dibs and his advice to Jared Goff. Mike Silver joins Damon Radakowski today at 4. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear in the Bay Area Chevy Dealers Guest Line. Visit Bay Area Chevrolet Dealers, pardon me, .com to find a dealer in your area.
Yeah, Mike Silver's been a big big Lo Neal fan. Actually, I'll never forget seeing Mike Silver and Lo Neal with Brett Kiesel and a few other randos. We were in New Orleans. We were at the Super Bowl together down there in New Orleans. Remember when the old boss tried to get us to stay in a hotel that was top 20 for bed bug bites in the world?
Well, our show we
in
had
the world,
some people,
Whitey.
Yeah, some people liked our show, and you know that happens in radio. You do a show, and then you don't. And so we were doing well, and then we weren't there anymore. And so people wonder what happened. I really think that's where it started. Our boss sent us to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And remember, wasn't that when the 49ers beat the Falcons? And if they didn't win that game, we weren't going to go. So it was last-minute accommodations.
Right.
49ers win the NFC Championship game. You guys are going to New Orleans. Here's where you're staying. And it turned out that we were staying at a place. He sent us to a place that was in the top 10 in the world for bed bugs.
In the world, Lo.
In the world.
In the world.
In the world.
And I happen to, you know me, Lo. I'm a big fan of Google, big fan of internet searches.
Yes.
And so the boss says, hey, you're staying at blah, blah, blah hotel. And I don't want to out this place because hopefully they've cleaned up the bed buggery. But I immediately Google it online. And the first thing that pops up is a website called bedbugregistry.com. And so I'm like, wait, hold on. There's actually a registry for bed bug incidents in hotels throughout the world. And then you type in the name of your quote unquote hotel and op pups.
Yeah.
All these incidents of bed bugs.
Video.
And so I go to the boss and I say, hey, boss, you know, I really appreciate you sending us to the Super Bowl. But I don't know if you've seen this. And all of a sudden now, Whitey and I, and let's not forget Mark Kreidler's role in all this. But all of a sudden now we're babies and we're complainers
beginning
and nothing's good enough
that
for
it.
Us.
Yep.
That was it. 8 weeks later, I'm on the unemployment line.
That was
that's funny, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, I think that was where it started. That's where we went from. Man, you guys, you do everything we ask you to do, and you're doing great. We went from that to these guys. They don't really appreciate everything we do, do they? I think that's where it all started, right there. Yeah.
Did he? Did he stay there with you guys at the hotel?
I don't even think he went.
Kidding me?
Did he go?
No. He went the previous year.
Dibson,
the previous year, he sent the whole station to Indianapolis, our first year as a station. We launched in August of 2011. In February of 12, I believe, we went to Indy for the Super Bowl. It was incredible. It was a great trip, bonding.
Giants-Patriots.
Rick Bucher bought the entire station dinner, which was the single act of kindness that he inflicted upon the station in its 9-year run. I'm not afraid to say it. I'll put my name on it, Whitey. It was an $1,800 bill. I appreciate it.
Please explain.
That's all. Made me laugh.
That's Roxy Bernstein. That's not Rick Bucher. But had I known that he was going to pick up the tab, I would have ordered some shots and an appetizer. But that's neither here nor there. The next year, we go to New Orleans for the Super Bowl, and we complain about bed bugs. Next thing you know, Whitey's back in Sacramento, and I'm doing traffic.
The audacity.
Is that when you and I had Alyssa Lana on Dippers? New Orleans was Alyssa Lana, or is that?
Yes,
was that
that's exactly right. Well, that's and people don't realize this, but the whole low on love bit came from Whitey. Mm-hmm. That was a Whitey Gleason creation because you used to come on our show, Whitey. I mean, Low, and we did the Rise Guys, and Low, you know, Whitey would tee you up for the little low on love, you know, we get fired, and then you get brought on with Joe, and Low.
It works.
And all of a sudden now it's a weekly fixture and it's, you know,
that's
promoted and it's sponsored and it all came from that day with Alyssa Milano on Radio Row.
You did it.
Now
you
I remember, you know what? I one time I said something about you kind of as a joke and I don't think you were on the air, but then you were in the station that day. This was after we were off the air and Dibs he set you up to act like you were really mad at what I'd said, and you were like,
yes.
And it was really strange because I was like, I knew I hadn't said anything, but you're a very large guy, right? And so you're standing there and you're walking up on me. Hey, Dibs told me what you said, and I remember saying, I didn't really say anything, but you were. It did get to a point. And I look at Dibs and he's kind of laughing, and I look back at you and you weren't laughing. And it was a little awkward because even though I knew I didn't say anything, I didn't know where you were going with it. And then
it's
got
so
to point,
good.
But even though I knew it was set up, it still got a little tense there.
Right, it did, Whitey, and it got seriously tense. And it reminds me, Lo, of what you did to Bonte Hill a couple of years ago, where you posed up on Bonte because Bonte, you know, we were doing the crosstalk, and Bonte made a very innocent, harmless comment. Yeah. That alluded to the fact that maybe Lowe's cheap, or I think it was about Lowe's cheapness.
Crabs.
Oh, no, it's because Lowe had crabs. I'm sorry. That's what it was.
You're pretty weak.
And I'm not talking about Maryland crabs where you lay out the butcher paper and you go to work.
Right.
But Bonte was just trying to be funny. Lowe takes off his headset and he goes over and he stands next to Bonte with that mean face. And, you know, Bonte knows he's Lowe's kidding for the first 30 seconds, the first 45. We get a minute in, and Lowe's standing there, and he's mean mugging. All of a sudden, you could see the air go out of the room, and you could see Bonte start to twist and turn just a little bit.
Bye-bye.
You get to a point where it doesn't matter. It's like, okay, I know this is a joke, but he's not laughing, so it really doesn't matter how we got here, because now he's got his arms crossed, and he's staring at me, and hopefully this thing will blow over, but it could go any which way, depending on Lowe Neal.
It could, and that was the beauty, quite frankly, of working with Joe Fortenbaugh, because I knew if push ever came to shove, Joe was getting it first. Now, if Lowe had the energy to come over and ragdoll me second, go ahead, but tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong, Lowe. Fortenbaugh would have been first up on your dance card. Too soon?
Turn off the lights.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
It almost sounds like Queen Circe, and she had that guy, the mountain, that when he died, and then he came back Sir Strong.
I needed this.
And it sounds like you just had Lowe and still have him at your bid and call. Hey, Lowe, tonight one of your former teams is Cincinnati Bengals playing Thursday night football. Did you ever play Thursday night football? Is it difficult to get ready for the turnaround? Obviously, it's early in the season here.
I honestly don't remember, to be honest. You know, I took a lot of hits. I think Dibs did that before. I think I would have played one.
See, that made it scarier because I knew that. It's like, this guy played football. He took a lot of hits. I don't know.
And Dibs loves – you got to realize, no one loves it more than Dan Dibley. No one.
Oh, I know
he
that.
He loves when a big fella – he just eats it up. He's like, all right. He likes when I'm doing that in that play mode. Dibs like, all right, let me watch what Lowe does. He eats it up.
Because I know you're just a sweetheart. You're one of the most kind, generous, gentle people I've ever met. Football player, you know, common man, grocer, whatever. You're just a great, great dude with no violent bone in your body. However, there is that thought, that 1% thought in the back of everyone's mind of, what if? Because sometimes, Lowe, I come down your road and Yes. And Whitey, I think about, you know, sometimes when I'm giving low the business, I think about how would it go? Would he grab my neck and grab one of my legs and just straight pull me apart? Would he grab me by the waist, ragdoll me, and throw me through the window? Would he go just straight atomic punch to my nose and cave in my entire face?
Right.
There's 6 million ways to die. Choose one.
Can we pray?
Yeah. Yes. He's got a lot of options. It's one of the truths that, you know, you work in sports and you realize this, the toughest guys, the very toughest guys quite often are the nicest guys. I think of Joe Staley. I think of Dave Stewart, because they have nothing to prove. They don't care what, you know, they know what they could do to you if they needed to, and they don't care if you know it or not. And I think Lowe fits into that category. Nice guy, because he has nothing to prove, and he knows what he could do if he ever needed to.
Yeah, he knows what he could do, but what he doesn't know is how he did on Thursday night. And I've done the research, and Lowe Neal played a grand total of one, and I count it one Thursday night game in his career. It was a win. He had one carry for no yards. And one Thursday night game. Lowe, you played a total of 220 Sunday games, 11 on Monday, one Thursday, and seven Saturday.
Who was that one game?
Well, now you're going to make me do some bonus research.
Oh, no. That's okay. That's okay.
I mean, 16-year career.
I had that handy as well.
No. You know,
I feel like closing with an empty nugget there.
Like that was very Cozumel like. You know that, Dan. That was very you can't lead everyone in. They're like, okay, yeah, the one game
you're
he
right.
won. And then like, okay, he won. And everyone, all the listeners hit the text line. They all want to know who we beat. But it's
everybody.
Okay.
I mean, I've never seen the text line do what it's doing now. People wondering.
There's a clamor.
Thank you, Whitey.
Never seen anything but you guys quite did. Like it at this level.
But you guys did get me going, though, as far as radio. Appreciate both of you guys, because you guys had that Low on Love, and we did that show in down there in New Orleans, and Lisa Milano fell in love.
Oh, boy.
She was blushing. Dib set me up so nice. Ever since that happened, guys, that's when I burst onto the radio scene. You guys had me doing weeklies, and your boss said, man, that guy's charismatic, he has swag, he understands the importance of love. And he said, here we go. And you and Dibs used to set me up so nicely when I do Low on Love. Thank you, Daniel, for Low on Love, because it still make tinkle where I want to winkle.
There's always that danger, too. When you have Low standing over you, even if he's joking, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. There is a danger, even though it's like, you know, I was kidding. And there's also that danger with Low on Love. You never knew what he was going to say. And he got it, but right, Dib? You never knew how far he was going to take it or what exactly was going to happen. And it was just a matter of fingers crossed here. Hopefully we'll get through this.
Yeah, it could get a little bit risky. And it did that day with Alyssa Milano, because she went from, oh, this is a stupid radio bit, to I think I may be in love.
Wow. Tremendous.
Yes.
Yeah.
That just cat got what happened, Whitey? Was it Whitey did that? Did the cat get your tongue on that one, Whitey? But yeah,
I thought you would have a response there. I thought it was more appropriate for you to respond to that than me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
You didn't know where. Well, tonight there is a team that I played for, guys, and it's the Cincinnati Bengals.
There's a segue.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Go back to Cincinnati!
He tries to pivot, but I believe that's a travel.
He lifted his pivot foot is what happened.
No. I did not. No.
Pivot!
It's You guys have been talking about this Cleveland Browns since Moby Dick was a minnow. Thank you. I was waiting. I tried. When are they going to get it together? Thank you.
Are
they
going to
be a breath freshener?
Baker Mayfield should never have been the first pick in the draft. He's just not ever going to be the quarterback they thought. I remember Hard Knocks, and you have Brad Paisley talking to the GM, and they're like, so he's kind of like Favre, huh? Well, maybe. Well, he's not like Brett Favre, okay? He's really good on the Home Depot commercials. That's about the best that we're ever going to see from Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying he's horrible. I'm just saying there's no way he's ever going to be as good as they thought he was going to be when they took him number one. Am I wrong?
No, it's not Maker. Because that's why I don't call him Baker Mayfield. I call him Maker Mayfield. Maker doesn't have it. He's not a guy that's going to make it. So I think you're absolutely right. He's way better on ESPN, looking at his stadium and making sure that the toilets are working, making sure that the seats got covered. That's what he's good at. He's good at those commercials. As far as being a quarterback, an elite quarterback, Dibs, I don't see this guy ever being elite.
No, I'm with you there, but can he be serviceable? And we put Jimmy Garoppolo as kind of the litmus test of how good a quarterback can be, because Jimmy Garoppolo is somewhere between the 11th and 18th best quarterback in the NFL, according to most people. So that, to me, is a good line. Can Baker Mayfield, or Maker Bayfield, as we say on this program, can he be better than Garoppolo, the same as Garoppolo, not as good as Garoppolo? I think he won't be as good as him, but he could be in the same sort of bailiwick, the same sort of category.
When you draft the quarterback number one overall,
like him, though.
Tell me if I'm wrong, though. I'm sorry. But you draft a guy number one overall, you're thinking, all right, this guy's Superman, but I think the best he could be is maybe Daredevil, Baker Mayfield, going back to our
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
If that. Yeah, I'm with that. And he's just reckless with the ball. Jimmy, at least he's trying, and he knows where he wants to go with it. Maker Bayfield, my God, sometimes, guys, it's ferocious. It's just like, okay. I look at the guy, and it's like, man, I'm just not sold on him. And I asked you guys, you know, Dibs, and you were like, after last week, you were saying, oh, I would take a guy like Jimmy. When you're talking about a guy like Calamari, do you see what I'm talking about? Just the difference in those two guys, as far as just ability now, are you still in the same church to say, hey, he's just head and shoulders better than Calamari?
No, not head and shoulders. I don't think he's better than Calamari at all. As a passer, I think they're quite comparable. As a runner and as an ability to make plays, I would take Calamari. Absolutely.
Which quarterbacks do you think right now, and they're the number one quarterback for their team, which guys are going to end up being the wrong guy? Baker Mayfield, I think, is one of them. Are there any other quarterbacks right now where you look and the teams are committed to him and they're playing him? Anybody else you think, you know what, I don't think that's going to work. We'll see. Players can get better. They can get better coaching. So things can change. How about Trubisky? Is Trubisky going to be the guy going forward for the Bears?
No. I don't think that he has it. And he may, because the guy played 16 games in college and you make him the first pick in the draft. That was foolish. That was a very, very foolish and very bullish thing to do. So I'm not sold on him either. That's another young guy that I'm not sold on. So those two, I'm with you. Maker Mayfield, he's not either. So those two right there, do you like? Do you have a couple others? Dibbs, do you want to weigh in on this one?
Yeah, I would throw in some names as well, and I would look at, I think Trubisky's at the top of the list. Baker Mayfield is another guy who I don't think is going to have that great of upside. I would throw Gardner Minshew in there, but all he's done is perform. The shoe continues to win, and he ruined our Raider party last year, Lo.
The shoe? I can't. He knows that Jacksonville. Hey, Whitey, let me tell you something. He knows that Jacksonville gutted that team and said, I don't want to give them a chance, because they wanted to tank for we know who, the kid out of Clemson. You know, Hollywood.
Tank for Trevor.
Tank for Trevor. Yeah. I think that he understands that, and they better do something to get that boy out of there, because he's a winner. Deshaun is a winner, and I want winners.
Thank you, Mike.
I don't know,
and ultimately,
was that a pretty hot take?
No, that was actually very, very milquetoast. Why?
Because you,
that was homogenized
who do they want?
Milk.
Well.
Really? But who do they want in Jacksonville?
Take, it's not a hot take. Am I right?
Okay.
You have to come in
okay.
And, like, ask
who does Jacksonville
joke funny? Ah.
Who does? Okay, Whitey. Who does Jacksonville want? Do you think? Am I bounced by thinking
I agree.
They want?
Yeah, they want
okay.
Debo too.
So
they
do
want
you
Trevor Lawrence and they want Debo?
Okay. So my point is, do you? So what are you going to do? Are you going to get rid of Minshew? Because if you don't, guess what? They're not going to be pick number one. So that's not hot. So are you you're gonna bench a guy who's playing well, who's giving you a chance? So now I'm asking you, Whitey, since my take is so Mitch, whatever you want to call it, a Michelada, or so cold, or milky toasty. So do you bench him? What are you gonna do? Because if you want that first, if you want to tank, he ain't tanking. He ain't tanking, Coach.
That was it's a great point you raised, in my opinion, because that was the biggest surprise to me week one. I thought the Colts were going to manhandle. I thought your boy Phillip Rivers was going to have a field day against Jacksonville. Because Jacksonville, now we know the players are trying, but the front office, we figure they're not even really trying to put a good team out there. So that was a stunner to me. So yeah, it does. They're in a pickle there if Gardner Minshew continues to throw one incompletion right. a game. How about? Yeah, it's a great point.
Real quick, guys. They're having NFL primetime on ESPN now. Back with Chris Berman. You guys got to listen to this way that he says Gardner Minshew
in Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Why, Steven? Why?
COVID.
Because that's amazing.
Outbreak.
Yeah.
I think two minutes of awkward silence is probably the best way to conclude this program. We've been so hot. Great takes. A lot of fun. Laughs aplenty. And you got to inject Boomer into the program, Steven? I think it's time for you to go back. Don't step on my bit. It's time for you to go back to the 5 o'clock hour.
Pre-game show premiere later of the week coming up, 5:50.
Yeah. Not with me tomorrow.
We had something going there, Steven. Dibs, you're right. We had something going. The conversation, Curly, was going well. Curly, and all of a sudden, here this guy. Hey, good. Ooh. Curly, why did you let that happen? We were rolling. Me, Dibs, and Whitey had something going about Minshew, about he making it difficult for them to pick the first pick. And he jumps in with, listen to this.
Nice drive going, and just an unforced bad penalty there, just disrupting the offense. Who's the better pitchman for CarShield, Chris Berman or Ice-T? It's not even close, is it? It's Ice-T.
It's T.
Your boy Ice-T for CarShield. Yeah, no question.
Steven, do you want to take over now since you derailed us? Okay, go ahead.
You read a book.
Yeah, I think he does.
Wow.
Thanks, guys. Talk it over. I'm available tomorrow if you want me back. And if not, I will understand. Thank you for being with us. Coming up, Bonte, Steiny, and Guru, they're next. 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.